Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
There's power in prayer. Amen? Matter of fact, this month, we have been learning about how to be powerful in prayer. I believe the Lord wants you to be powerful in prayer. I want to say that again. The Lord wants you. Say this with me. Me. I want you to hit yourself. Don't hurt yourself, but hit yourself real quick. He wants me. He wants me. He wants you to be powerful in prayer. And the very first Sunday of this year, which is just a few Sundays ago, I put this scale on the wall for you. And I ask you to kind of measure yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. Where would you consider yourself? And when it comes to being a powerful in prayer, would you consider yourself a 1, which means you're not very powerful at all in your own terminology? Or would you consider yourself, an 8 or a 9? And here's the deal. I don't know where you would put yourself. I don't necessarily want to know. But here's what I do want to make sure we're doing this year. And as a church, we are always trying to become, always doing all we can to be powerful in prayer. Amen? Max Lucado said it like this. He says it this way: our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Did you know your prayer makes a difference? Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter whether you got your words mixed up. The guys were asking me this morning in our prayer time if I normally post the first service podcast online or whether we put the second service podcast online. And I confess to them, the podcast we post on Mondays is the one I felt like I did my best at on Sunday. Right? I don't do always first or second. Sometimes we're the same way when it comes to our prayer life. We wish, if I could have said it differently, then we would, maybe God would hear us better. No, I want to say this to you this morning. You are powerful in prayer because of the God you pray to. Amen? Not because you know a formula, but because you know the God of the universe. So this morning I want to talk to you. I want to close our time together. And how can we be powerful in prayer? The disciples asked Jesus this question, and this is the answer he gave them. I want to ask you to say this scripture or say this prayer with me out loud. It's going to be on the screen for you. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. Let's read it together out loud. Are you ready? Okay, my wife and two others are ready. I said, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. On your mark, set, go, verse number 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, I love you, and I'm thankful that you taught us how to pray. Lord, we know we can be powerful in prayer because you outlined exactly for us what a powerful prayer looked like. Lord, it wasn't complex. It wasn't filled with theological jargon. It wasn't impressive in terminology of complex words or thoughts. It was a simple child coming to their heavenly Father. But Lord, the simplicity of this prayer also comes with great power. Lord, I pray for every person in this room that none of them would feel like they are subpar or second rate when it comes to prayer. But they will understand that you have designed them and desire for them to be powerful in their prayers. God, I pray 2019 would be a year that just blows the doors off of people's expectations of what you want to do in their life personally, what you want to do in their life as a family, even what you want to do as our church corporately, because we've discovered that we really are powerful in prayer because we're praying to you. So Lord, I pray this prayer today. Lord, anoint me to teach and preach what you want us to say. Anoint each of us to hear what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. And we'll give you thanks for that. And all God's people said, amen. So Jesus is asked this question by his disciples. Teach us how to pray. And this is his answer. What you just read. That's how he teaches us to pray. And we've been kind of walking our way through that. It starts by saying, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It starts with a little bit of worship, a little bit of adoration of who God is. But today, I want to focus on the next phrase that Jesus said. He said these words, "Give us today our daily bread." That's the title of the sermon this morning, is "Give us today our daily bread." You know, we've got a, if you don't know, if you're new to our church and you don't really know our story, we have a four-year-old, and one of our special times together is breakfast every day. Stella and I eat breakfast together every day of the week except for Sunday. And today she got up early, so we even had it together today. And her first words to me every morning is not, "Hey, Dad, I love you." It's not, "Hey, Dad, how did you sleep?" Every day, Stella's first words, including today, I thought, man, she's helping me preach today. Stella's first words to me today was this, "Daddy, I'm hungry." Every day, "Daddy, I'm hungry." Not, "How are you?" Not nothing. It's straight to, "Dad, I'm hungry." And how many of you would just be honest enough to say you pray the same way? Every day, most days, a lot of days, we get up in our prayer life sounds something like this, "God, I need this, that, and the other." And we skip the whole first two instructions that Jesus gave us, that when you pray, recognize that you do have a heavenly Father that's concerned about you, and begin to hallow his name, begin to give him a little bit of worship. And a lot of times we just skip to, "Lord, I need this and that." And sometimes I think we rob ourselves, because Matthew 6:33 says, "If we'll seek first him and his kingdom, then he'll take care of all the rest." How often do we as adults treat our Heavenly Father kind of like my three-year-old treats me? And by the way, it doesn't hurt my feelings, because I'm trying to be a good father. So it's my pleasure to feed my kid. It's God's pleasure to give you the daily bread that you have need of this morning, because he's a good father. He loves you. He's our Heavenly Father. And when we pray this prayer, Father, or when Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread," I'm thankful that it lets us know that Jesus wants to give us daily bread. That he has prepared for you exactly what you have need of today. I want to say that again. Jesus has exactly what you have need of today. I'm not sure what you walked in the service today needing. Not sure if it's financial, not sure if it's relational. I don't know if it was like the simplicity of what Jesus was saying in Jesus' day when he said, you know, "Give us today our daily bread." These people were actually looking for a place to, this wasn't a figure of speech. They were really needing bread. They didn't have Walmart where they could just pick and click and have it brought to their car. The substance for daily living like bread was a big deal, a great need. And so he definitely meant that, but he meant more than that. And today, if I was going to put this sermon in a sentence, I would put it to you this way. This scripture teaches us to never confuse the provision of God with God himself. Sometimes we can get so fixated on the daily bread that we forget that he is the giver of daily bread. Sometimes we miss out, we freak out, if I can use that terminology. We go crazy because the provision changes or the provision disappears. But I want to tell you, even when the provision changes, the provider never does. So we got to become people. Come on, get with me this morning. We got to become people who are fixated on the provider and not the provision. Amen? Amen? So Jesus said, pray this way. God, you give us today our daily bread. So how can we continue to pray powerful prayers this year? Well, here's the first way. Discern that God is a great provider. Jesus said, pray this way. Give us. Give us. Jesus defines God as a giver. Romans chapter 8, verse number 32 says this, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also," listen to this, "freely give us all things. You know, if this is your first time in church today, maybe you've never been in a church before in your life, there's a pretty good chance that you've heard someone say this scripture found in John chapter 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave what? He gave his only son. What's that say? It says God is a giver. Sometimes people get so bent out of shape because the church talks about giving. I said, man, I would love to come to church, but all y'all do is talk about giving. Well, as believers, we're supposed to become more and more like Jesus. And Jesus, God reveals himself as a giver. You cannot become like Jesus and remain selfish. You cannot remain or try to be like God. If you're going to be close-fisted and I have a heart of selfishness, becoming like him means that I'm going to have a generous heart. I'm going to have a heart that is generous towards God. That prayer we prayed this morning, Lord, begin to stir my heart for the things. Listen, God's heart is stirred towards you. He's a great provider. And when we lose the reality that he is our source, here's the deal. When we lose the reality that he's our source, we always lose, period. When we believe that God's not our source, that I can get my source from somewhere else, when we lose the reality that God is a good provider and he is the good giver, that he wants to give us daily bread, when we lose that, what we start doing is we start searching for daily bread somewhere else. And when we start searching in other places, here's what happens. We lose every time. There's a man in the Word of God in the Old Testament. His name was Samson. How many of you heard of Samson? Some of you went to Branson and saw his story this past year. You know, Samson is a great example of a guy who went outside the will of God for daily bread. It's not that what he sought was evil. It's where he sought it. I want to say that again. Sometimes what we seek isn't evil, it's where we seek it. When we forget that God is the great provider, that every good and perfect gift comes from him and not somewhere else. If we start searching for good things in the wrong places, what we always get is the wrong things. So we got to understand that God is the great giver. And I know I'm just going to get a little bit personal here, but there's so many times in our lives where we seek the provision of God, or we seek the things that God would like for us to have. We seek the daily bread, but we seek it other places. I know I got to be really gentle when I say this. Y'all know I'm about to get in trouble when I step down here. How many times have you known people that were mad at God because of how something turned out that they sought outside of his provision? Samson sought a relationship. Is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, we're going to see in the next point that God is for relationships. It was God's idea for man not to be alone. But he sought the relationship outside of God's provision, and he wound up with someone who is a betrayer to him, someone who sabotaged him. And how many times do we end up with a mess, with a wreck? And it's all not because God forsook us, but because we forsook him and sought it outside of his provision. Amen? We've got to get to the place where we can truly say, Lord, if it doesn't come from your hand, I don't want it in my hands. Amen? Give us today our daily bread. Understand God is the good giver. And understand, secondly, that God has daily bread for every area of your life. Sometimes we're guilty of believing that God is an expert in this area, but a novice in other areas. So we'll trust him with this part of our life, but we don't trust him with that part of our life. But God is God is a good father. He's a good provider. He's a good giver. He is trustworthy in every area of your life. When Jesus said, give us today our daily bread, was he speaking about the real needs, physical needs of our lives? Absolutely. But it's also Jesus who spoke to the enemy in the wilderness and said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. In other words, Jesus knew that though we do need daily bread, that everything we need is found in God. Let me just give you a few things real quick this morning. You can trust God because he has daily bread for your physical needs. That's the simplest thing that Jesus was teaching that day. Give us today our daily bread, just our physical needs. You can trust him for your physical needs. I like the psalmist's words in Psalm 37, verse 25. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. He is trustworthy when it comes to meeting your physical needs. I like the fact that Exodus reminds us this phrase that Jesus teaches us to pray. Give us today our daily bread. That's actually just a mirror image of what God did for the children of Israel when he was leading them out of captivity. Remember that every single morning they woke up and on the ground surrounding their camp would be daily bread. We call it manna, right? They would wake up and every morning they would walk outside and here's the ground covered with daily bread. All they had to do is wake up and they'd go out there and they collect what God had provided for them. I want to tell you, every single day, God's got daily bread for you. I find it, two things interesting. Number one, I find it interesting that the shelf life of the daily bread God provided for them in the wilderness had a really short shelf life. Right? They couldn't keep it overnight. If they kept it overnight on any day except for the sixth day, what happened? It would rot. I think God did it that way because He wanted them to trust him. Not just one time, but every day. Every day, trust him. But what happened was after 40 years of God providing manna day after day, the day came when they entered the promised land and God spoke to them and said, now listen, I'm not going to provide manna for you in the morning. I'm going to provide for you a different way. You're going to go eat off the beast in the field and you'll live off the land. And the Bible reminds me that there's people just like me in the Old Testament. Because guess what they did? They got up the next morning and what did they do? They went looking for manna. Even though God told them, it's not going to be there, they went and looked for it anyway. And the reason I say they're like me is because it's so easy for me to get my eyes on the provision of God instead of the provider. Amen? We've got to understand that the provision will change. I want to say that again. Provision in your life will change. But the provider never does. When the provision changes, you can rest assured the provider has not forgotten you. You can trust him to meet your daily needs. You can trust God for nourishment, for spiritual growth. Part of this daily bread is that the Bible says that his mercies are new every single morning. When you woke up this morning, that God had brand new mercy for you. When you woke up this morning, there was brand new grace for you. When you woke up this morning, there was a new intimacy that you could have with the Heavenly Father this morning. You don't have to live off of yesterday's experience with God. He's got brand new grace and experience for you today. The word says, draw near to God, and what? He will draw near to you. So Jesus provides daily bread for our bodies, but he also provides daily bread for our spirit that we can grow in him. You know, we live in a spiritual, now some of you are going to disagree with this, but we live in a very spiritually hungry society. Now, They're not feeling that hunger with Jesus. They're filling that spiritual hunger with other things. You can testify to that every time you see a psychic reader sign in the yard. You know, people who dial those 1-800 numbers, they're not crazy. They're hungry. They're hungry. And let me tell you something, that there's a God-shaped hole in every person. That's not just the words of a song sung by Plung. That's a reality. That there is a God-shaped hole in every single one of us that can only be filled by God. And as long as we try to fill it with other things, you'll always turn up empty. Here's the second. The third thing is that you can trust God to provide the relational needs of your life. You know, putting people into fellowship is God's idea. It was God that said in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, that it's not good for man to be alone. And so he made him the right person to be with. It's God's idea in the New Testament when the word says that that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother for you. He is also the daily bread for our relational needs as well. We live in a connected society. You know, when I was you're getting older when all your stories start with when I was a kid. But when I was a kid, if you wanted to call somebody, you had to have their phone number memorized. Now you just push a button. And if they're not in your digital phone book, you go to Facebook, and most of the world has their phone numbers there, and you push the button there. It is easier to be connected to people. You know, when I played Nintendo as a kid, when I played a video game as a kid, I was playing the computer. Now you're playing the kid down the street and the kid around the world. And yet, for all of the connection we have, loneliness is plaguing our society. But I want to remind you, the word says that it's God that puts the lonely in families. He puts the lonely in families. He's that daily bread for the relationships. You don't have to go seeking a relationship. And I would challenge you not to seek relationships outside of God's provision. But understand that in your relationship with God comes the daily bread you need for all the other relationships you're in. And third today, you can trust God for his continuing care. How do we become powerful in prayer? You'll be powerful in prayer when you understand that God has continuing provision for me today. God called it, he said, give us today our daily bread. I think the King James Version says, give us each day our daily bread. In other words, there's not a day you're going to live that God doesn't have provision for you. And I'll tell you, this little area right here is the easiest place to say that. Understand it's harder on Monday mornings. Understand it's harder in seasons where your job's in the air and you're not really sure where your provision is coming from. But I want to tell you that God has provision for each day. God has provision for every day of your life. Every area of your life and every day of your life. You will not enter a season or face a challenge that God doesn't already have daily bread sustained for you. 2 Corinthians reminds us of this in chapter 9, verse number 8. It says this, and God is able to bless you abundantly. I want to say that again. God is able to bless you, not barely, right? Abundantly. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, having all you need, you'll abound in every good work. Philippians chapter 4 says in verse 19 that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Not according to your momentary despair or your momentary lack or your momentary not enough moment, but according to his riches, which are always enough. He always has daily bread for your life. In just a few minutes, we're going to take communion together as a church family. And we're going to hold the cup and we're going to hold the bread together. And in just a few minutes, when you hold that bread in your hands, I want you to realize that this represents the broken body of Jesus that provides for you and me daily bread. Daily bread. Everything that we have need of is found in Jesus. He does not just what we expect. He does more than we expect. So I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Megan, if you want to come to the keyboard and get ready. We have some ushers that are helping us. We're going to have communion in just a moment. But before we get to those activities, while these folks are moving with their heads bowed, I just want to say this again. You can trust Jesus to be that daily bread for you. There was a lady that Jesus met one day, and Jesus asked her for a drink of water, and she was surprised that he would ask her because she was of different ethnic group from him, and it was not common for them to even associate with one another. And she was on the cusp of refusing. But Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you would ask of me, and I would give you water that you never thirst again. He was speaking of salvation. He was speaking of a relationship with God the Father, where everything that is lacking in our life becomes fulfilled by the broken body of Jesus, by the blood he would soon shed for her and every person like her and for every one of us in this room today. Today you're here and maybe your life is empty because you've never really experienced daily bread. You've never really experienced what it means to surrender your life to Jesus, to trust your life to him and let him become everything that you're not and fix everything you can't and forgive everything you have need of. Jesus came that we can have life and life to the full. And today, if you're not experiencing abundant life today, you've never committed your life to Jesus, but yet, while we were preaching today, the Spirit of God just spoke to you. You can't really explain it. You just know that today things aren't right with you and God, but you want to make things right. This is the moment to do that. And I would love to just lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to single you out or call you forward, but I'd love to include you in a prayer in just a moment. If that's you, would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. I need to get things right with God today. Would you just lift a hand, put it right back down. I just wanted to include you in this prayer. Amen. Secondly today, church body, I want to ask you, is there an area of your life that you've refused to trust to God? You haven't surrendered the fact that he is daily bread in that area as well. You've kept a tight grip on certain parts of your life. And you haven't surrendered it to him because you think he's not trustworthy. He might ask something I don't want to give. He may ask me to do something I don't want to do. But I want to tell you today, it's impossible to outgive him. He is daily bread. He has strength for you in every season of your life. In just a moment, as we take this moment of communion, as you hold that bread in your hand, I just want to remind you that he is more than enough for you. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we're healed. He has daily bread for you. You don't have to seek it in other people or other places. When you seek it in Christ, you'll find it in him. And today you say, Pastor, pray for me because I've been seeking daily bread other places. I've been seeking the needs of my life in other people, and I really haven't sought it from the Lord. Today, would you just lift your hand real quick? Let me pray, Pastor, pray for me because I need to switch gears today. I need to start trusting him for daily bread. And let me pray for you today, then we're going to give you direction about communion. Lord, I love you today. I'm thankful that you are our daily bread. Lord, you're everything that we have need of. Lord, like Peter said, where else could we go? You alone have the words of life. You alone have what we have need of. So Lord, I pray today you'll be daily bread to every person in this room today. I pray that we'll get out of the habit of looking to ourselves or looking to others to be our daily bread. When you are our good Father, you're our supply. Be that to us continually today and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what we're going to do this morning. We practice open communion here, which simply means we don't ask you to be a member of our church. All we ask you to do is be a member of the family of God. So if you're a Christ follower today, we invite you to stay and take communion with us. We're going to ask you to stand in just a few moments and exit your row this direction. Come forward, receive the elements, then go enter your row on the opposite side today. And then in a few moments, when everyone's been served, we'll take communion together. And so would you stand with me today? And just starting at the front, would you exit your row to my left, your right? Come forward, receive the elements, go back and find yourself a seat. Or just stand at your seat and we'll take together in just a moment.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Take this morning. Brandy's going to help me today. We have several in our church that are getting their credentials to just qualify themselves for the ministry that God's put in their heart to do. And Brandy's in that process. And part of the learning experience is to help lead a congregation this experience. So I've helped her, ask her to help us lead part of this today. So she'll be leading the second part of our prayer today. But I want to ask you to take that piece of bread in your hands with me real quick. Just kind of hold it. And just put enough pressure on it to where it's not going to break, but where you can just really feel it. And I want to ask you in this moment to just remember that this represents the broken body of Jesus. Jesus said this about himself, "I am the bread of life." So when he said, "Father, give us today our daily bread," he was pointing to the fact that he would be himself. The daily bread, the provision that you and I have need of every day. And you're never going to extinguish or wear out the provision that comes from daily bread. Because he is God. There's no beginning and there's no end. He has exactly everything that we have need of today. So I want to lead you in a prayer. And then we're going to take the bread together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the broken body of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word that this is my body, which is given for us. And so as we do this today, as we take this broken bread together, we do it in remembrance of you and your sacrifice and your provision on the cross. And we just simply today say, thank you, Jesus, for being our daily bread. And would you take the bread together with me today?
Corinthians 11, verses 25 and 26. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people in agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Matthew 26, verses 27. And he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood which confirms the covenant."
Yes.
Between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. So this cup represents each and every drop of blood that Jesus poured out as he sacrificed himself for the world, but also for each and every one of us. It's through this blood that you are cleansed. When you ask for that forgiveness, you are purified and you stand before Jesus and you stand before God white as snow through this blood. God, I just thank you for this cup, Lord, that represents your blood. God, I thank you for each and every drop that was poured out of your body, Lord. God, I thank you that you knew, Lord Jesus, the sins that we would have and that we would make, God. But you prepared a way for us to come into your kingdom, God. We love you and we give you thanks for this as we drink this cup. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands to the Lord today and let's just give him thanks for his shed blood that washes us, makes us clean in his eyes and the eyes of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Megan, why don't you lead us in that psalm before we change the order real quick.
Reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from death.
Father, we thank you for speaking to us today. We thank you that every day of our life, you have daily bread for us. Help us to rely upon it, to depend upon it. Help us to never, never forget. Let us never confuse the provision with the provider. You're our provider. So we lean on you and we look to you every day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for worshiping with us today.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.